I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
How are you? How is life? It is summertime in the city. I'm pretty sure it's summertime where you're at too. Gearing up for Edinburgh, even though I've just been informed that I say Edinburgh incorrectly, so I do apologize if you're from there and I'm mispronouncing the country you are from. I'm working on it. I think we are 47 days out, which is like, honestly, it sounds like a long time, but it's like horrifyingly, rapidly approaching. My July is a shit show in the best way possible. Getting married to Aaron, finally, right? Thank you, COVID. 7.5 years together, finally getting married. And then Edinburgh, it's wild. I can't wait, and I'm truly horrified. And we'll see what happens. And hopefully y'all can come. I would love to have you there. If not, I totally get it. It's a different country. But if you are in the area or if you are in the UK, pop on by. Get on a ferry or a plane or a train, however it works. We'll see. We'll figure it out. This episode was really fun and really interesting to record with. My guest today is David Piccolomini, and just really fun guy to talk to. He's got an album recording coming up that you can find on his Instagram, which is D-Pick Comedy, D-P-I-C, and then the word comedy, called Goblin King, and I'm very excited to listen to it. In this episode, we talk like exclusively about poly and open relationships. Kind of like, I mean, any question I've ever had, like, David answers. And I think it's a very informative, very interesting podcast. And I think there's a lot of confusion around open relationships and open dating and poly relationships. And I just think it was very informative, and it's something that you're looking into or wanting to explore. I think David's a really good person to talk to about that. Not that you should be like, hey, via DM, be like, I have questions. But just like, I think he's very open about it. And he also has a podcast called Tinder Tales, where I think you can also find some more information about this. But I think you're going to enjoy. And remember, he's got an album recording, Goblin King, coming out very soon. And you can follow him on Instagram at DPIC Comedy, D-P-I-C, and then comedy, the actual word. And I hope you enjoy. I'm so excited to have you. I feel like I told you years ago I would love to have you and then completely dropped the ball. So thank you so much.
Turns out there was a whole pandemic.
And like, I don't know about you, but the pandemic also showed me how much of a shit show I was before the pandemic. Like, truly. And I was just like, oh, I have so much to work on. And while how awful the pandemic was, I was like, at least I can like work on myself. And I think I did. I think I definitely got to a better, or am at a better spot. But like, oh.
What were you noticing was a mess? Because I my life improved dramatically over the pandemic. And my joke was just like, how shit was my life before this, that like a worldwide catastrophe brought everybody just down to my level? They're like, all right, we got to give everybody the minimum. And I was like, holy shit, this is what the minimum's been the whole time? What have I been living on?
I think that was it too. Because when I was able to get unemployment plus the extra money. And like, oh my God, this is amazing. But I think I just realized how much I was running on empty and for how long I was running on empty. Like I was like, oh, I've been exhausted for years and had no clue. And was definitely like unhappy and like with the day job and creatively. And just it was all like compounding on each other. And then it was, you know, seeping into my friendships. And I don't think it really affected my relationship with Aaron, but I think being better for myself definitely makes the relationship better too. But like, oh, I was just like not a good friend, not good to myself.
You're not draining him. You're not draining him because you're exhausted. And so you're adding as opposed to taking.
Yeah.
All the time. Which is not bad. Like, you know what I mean? Every relationship should be give and take.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But if you're not like, as someone who has been like exhausted, that's why I'm like, part of the benefit of being non-monogamous is it's like, oh, when I'm really upset, instead of taking one person and being like, I need all of your energy right now, it's like four people being like, here, I can help this way. I'm like, this is the best.
Speaking of non-monogamous, what do you think is like the biggest misconception about being
how reckless I think people think it is?
Okay.
Because people assume people are cheating. People assume people are just fucking all the time, anyone, everyone, all any chance they can get. And sure, that is me, but that's not. but like the amount of communication and stuff, it's almost a joke. It's the stereotype at this point of like, yeah, no, it's mostly just talking. We're just talking all the time, but I like it's really fun to do, and it's I don't like I like dating still.
I think you're the only person I know that likes to date. Like my last episode was literally just like, or last person I recorded with, I don't know if it's gonna be the last episode, was like, it's just so bad. And I'm hearing all these horror stories as of late.
Well, so there's both though. Like, cause yeah, sometimes dates are bad. That happens. Also, people aren't great at it. It takes a lot to be a great dater. You have to be like very engaged, pay a lot of attention to what. And so a lot of guys aren't great at it either. And
yeah, I was about to say. Like,
of course. No, but that's like a lot of women aren't great at dating either. They just, it's a different thing where it's kind of like sex. If they're not great at it, you can kind of just take the reins and be like, okay, I'll just run the whole show if that's fine.
Oh, yeah. Because yeah, like you were saying with like Aaron, like relationships have to be give and take. So does the dating for it to like be fun and be interesting. Oh, man.
Men and women both have to do this where we're the ones talking. And we're like, okay, you're not going to give anything here. Are you done? I think really when you get good at dating, it's you learn how to really extend the fun dates and really shorten the bad ones.
See,
don't give people three chances in a night.
See, I was never good at ending the bad dates because I was too polite. Way too polite.
One of the best dates I ever went on was 20 minutes. Her and I, we met up. We talked for 20 minutes. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really feeling this. I don't think you're really feeling this. Is it cool if we just call it? And she was like, yeah, that's great. And we just ended it. And I felt the amount of relief. I was like, we didn't spend 2 hours and 3 drinks trying to figure out if there is any connection at all we could kind of tenuously build.
How did you know? I feel like I don't know that soon. I'm like, yeah, let me see.
Really? I've heard, I've watched women's eyes, like the moment they meet me, either be like, I'm going to fuck you or I'm not going to fuck you. Like that the moment that like, I'm like 3 minutes into the date, I kind of have an idea. Not
wow,
always.
Wow, that's impressive.
I've had that. I've heard that from women where they just kind of go in it and you've already talked a little bit. Mm. That's why I love online dating, is because you can have your first date kind of online and then meet up and see if the chemistry is also good.
Yeah. And I think that's what always tripped me up was because I like personally, I'm great via text. I'm great online.
Yes. That's what we talked about in your episode of Tinder Tips.
Yes. Where I constantly ghosted everyone before ghosting became a thing. But
Pioneer.
Just pioneer. Just paving the way. Oh, God.
By pioneer, I mean a lot of ghosts around.
But like face to face, I'm really awkward at first. Like dating, meeting anyone new, not even like platonic, not platonic. I'm very like one-on-one.
It just takes you a second to warm up.
Yeah. Groups, I'm great. Three and more, amazing. One-on-one, I lose my shit. And I'm just like, everything I'm doing is making this person feel so uncomfortable. And then I just like stop talking. And so I become like this self-fulfilling prophecy. I think I've gotten better with age, but like, oh my God, when I was younger, holy shit, it was so bad. Like, oh.
Yeah. Well, it's you have to be comfortable with yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And I definitely wasn't.
And if you're not, yeah, then you're trying to like pull off of these people that you don't know, but you can't really pull off them yet because you don't know them.
Yeah. Now, this is very insightful. You're absolutely right. For like non-monogamy, if anyone's going from monogamous to poly or open or any other iteration, what would be in your mind like the best advice?
You have to be unafraid to be vulnerable.
Okay.
That is the biggest advice, because like a lot of problems I've dealt with, either with people who I was seeing or like their other partner or something, especially right now, non-monogamy is having a big moment. And I think it's partially because of the pandemic, because everybody was just trapped in their house with their partners for 2 years. And they're like, you know what? I definitely love you, but I can go fuck someone else. This is not going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think there's also like so many misconceptions with it and so many.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's the word I want? Not vulnerability, because I think you're right. But I think people forget how much like communication you have to have.
Huge. You also have to be relatively emotionally settled with yourself or else it doesn't work. Because then, I mean, people also don't talk about that, but like new relationship energy is tough on your partner. It's all like new relationship energy is this feeling where like when you meet someone new and you're really excited about seeing them, and it's like, it's not love, but it's the thing your brain does to trick you into having a baby too quick so that we could survive as a species. where it's like, I can spend the rest of my life with you. I know it's been 3 months, but like, this is insane. And then, you know, it mellows out after time, but new relationship energy is very tough on your partner because watching someone you love fall in love with someone else, especially if you're coming from a monogamous standpoint, you know, everything's based in monogamy for you. You watch it and you go, well, this is how they leave me.
Oh, wow.
Because every single insecurity gets projected out.
Oh, wow. I never even thought of that. And so like, what do you do? How do you combat that with like your current partner?
So it's a thing of like, one, you talk and you talk and you talk some more. And then it's the thing of jealousy. Have you ever heard I forget who said it, but jealousy is just insecurity manifesting.
I think I have heard that. Yeah.
And it's basically when you get jealous, all that's happening is you're looking at them and going, well, I don't have that. How come it's because I'm not enough. It's because I can't do this, that this person's having this experience. And it's because I'm not good enough. If I was better, this wouldn't happen.
I literally was thinking that today on Instagram, looking at other comedians like shows. Like that's literally the thought I was having. I was like, oh, I'm just not enough yet. I'm just not good enough. Wow. Oh, just this is cathartic already. We're like 5 minutes in.
Yeah. Should I mention I did mushrooms before? No, I'm just kidding.
So are you currently with someone right now? Like in a partnership?
So I'm in a variety of things right now. Mm-hmm. It's funny. For several months, I slowed down. Like for a while, honestly, it might be 6 to 8 months. I slowed down a lot. Like, and then I looked at what slowing down meant for me. And it was just, I was seeing the same like 4 or 5 people.
I could never balance that. Oh my God.
It's, well, because so.
Like, no judgment. I'm impressed.
I didn't take so far. None, as someone who is really a younger me, there's a, you can find it somewhere probably, but there's a podcast of me having a full meltdown over someone being real rude about polyamory.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
It's fine. I'm laughing about it. It's fine. Honestly, it may have been longer than 5 years ago at this point. It was a while ago and it wasn't a podcast about it. It just came up at the end and then 40 more minutes of podcast went by. And like my ex listened to it, my girlfriend at the time, and she was just like, yeah, you don't sound good on this either. She's rude, but you also don't sound great because you're mad.
Oh no. Like, yeah, you're probably getting defensive and just like mad because they're not like listening.
I don't get it. Like, how come, like, you just don't want someone special of your own?
Oh, my God. Oh, I hate that.
And I was like, I saw red and got real shitty.
No, I don't blame you at all.
I do, but that's a whole other. it's weird. I have a partner who's, like, a girlfriend. We're really close and everything, obviously. We're about to hit a year, but she lives in Denver and is married. We met after a show.
Oh, I love that.
And then... And we started talking on Instagram, and now we talk literally every day on Instagram and have, I think we've missed a total like maybe 4 or 5 days.
Oh, wow. Aw.
It's kind of insane. And we just send these like, we call it the tome, and we send these just long messages to each other. And I don't know when this is coming out, but June is our year. And for our anniversary present, I took all that Instagram. There's a service you can use. I don't remember the name of the place, but you can upload your Instagram chat and they'll turn it into a book.
Oh my God, that's so cool. That's so sweet.
So it's going to be like a 600 page literal tome that I'm going to give her.
Oh my God. Oh, she'll love it.
And it's really funny though, because in that there's everything. And I was like, how do I edit this? So like she can, if she wants to show this to people. And so it's like, well, first I got to take out nudity. Because obviously there are plenty of nudes in that chat. It's long distance. Of course there are
nudes. You gotta.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, oh, I gotta take out all the nudes. And I'm like, do I take out the sexting? Because there's not a lot of it in there, but there's enough. And it, like, especially when it was really, like, it's the longest I actually, like, went on dates with someone without ever initiating any physical contact because, like, they're new to non-monogamy. Like, she's done other stuff, but they've mostly only done like threesomes and everything. Mm-hmm. And so then she is like, we just have this connection immediately, but it was like, we couldn't do anything about it because we didn't know what the boundaries were yet for each other.
Yeah.
With her and her husband. So like, cause I was still trying to be respectful of all of that. And like, literally like we went, cause I would just be back in Denver doing shows. So we would see each other and then like, she like put her hand on my chest and like I got like half hard from that. It was like the tension was so thick that we couldn't. But then as soon as she stopped seeing this other guy that they would have experiences with, it was like, oh, I've got the go ahead now. And then I got very horny for like a very solid month of just like nothing, like just lots of sexting and all this.
I love it.
I was like, do I take that out of the book? Or do I just content warning it? Like, do I go like, hey guys, don't read this part unless you want to be, it's pretty horny for like this month. You could skip to December. It gets less horny.
Yeah. Cause I guess they don't have to like edit it, right? Like they don't have to like go through everything. They just kind of have to, you know, take it from Instagram to book to a different like medium.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not hiring a curator. And then I realized I was like, oh no, this is an Instagram conversation. This is never meant to be seen by public.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
And I was like, oh, so this is just a private gift for her. And then she can show people sections of it the same way you'd show someone texts. And I was like, leave it all in. Also, it was 600 pages. It would take me a month to edit.
That was the other question I had. I was like, how would you go through that? Like, that's so much.
It took me like 2 hours to get rid of all that because it kept every time someone liked a post or liked a message.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to go through and delete all of those because they don't make sense. It just says
like liked message. You know, yeah. Like
David liked a message, but it wasn't the last message, was it the message before? It's just when the light came in.
Oh, wow. Oh my God, that's so sweet. I love that. Okay, so this is your main partner, and then you're dating or seeing, I'm not sure what the correct term would be, like dating, seeing.
So it depends on the person, I would say. So for a little while, I would say like I guess my general philosophy is I don't see why sex is the line that we draw. Sex is the barrier. Sex is the line. And I feel like it has a lot to do with, like, I call it the Disneyfication of relationships, where everybody, it's like when you meet your soulmate, you know, and that's the only person you want to have sex with forever, mm-hmm. because that's how life works. And it's like, yeah, I don't know why we're being precious. It's sex is just one of the most fun activities you can do with someone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And if there's trust and communication and really good chemistry, it's way better, for sure. But in the same way, eating a meal by yourself or with someone you don't like that much versus eating a meal with somebody you have great chemistry with is going to be way better.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy.
Like, yeah, food and sex, you can really, if the analogies haven't been done to death, they're all right there.
I just think of that Seinfeld episode where George is trying to eat a sandwich while having sex at the same time. And it's like, yeah. It sounds good in theory, but... food and sex can go great, but it's like, I don't know if the Reuben's going to work, George.
Chewing is a lot. Mm-hmm. Chewing while trying to heavy breathe.
Got a little slurp. Someone once, I don't remember, it was on Calvin Cato's show, the show that he was doing on Rush Ticks. I was on with...
Yeah, I was the first straight white man on that show.
Ooh!
Breaking boundaries.
Look at you. Someone was talking about using honey, and I was like, why would you use honey? Like, it's so thick and you can't, like, it's not easily cleanable. You're like, I've done it all the time.
No, I haven't. But I was thinking actually warm honey would probably be, because you get kind of the hot wax thing going.
Mm, that's a good point. This person was straight and I'm pretty sure it was just like cold, like hard honey.
Oh, yeah. You're picturing his, like, it's still got, it's like when you have honey out for too long, it's got the sugar crystals in the
mm-hmm,
bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just sandpapery honey lube.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Just put a little drop of honey on your clit and be like, you can't leave until this is completely cleaned up.
Now, see, that would be all right. I'd be okay with that. Like a dog with peanut butter, just like, yeah. We all heard that one rumor about that one person.
Oh, that's the stereotype. I'm like, yeah, they fucked a dog. You didn't hear it? Yeah, every high school had one person that fucked an animal, hypothetically.
I wonder if there ever has been. I mean, there's gotta be. But yeah, it is, yes. So weird that it's like every high school has this.
I don't know if you've been on the internet.
That is very true.
It's like, don't talk to Kevin. He fingered his cat. Like, it's not even like, it's not always like had sex with a dog. It's just they did something to an animal. And either they did it and told the one friend they trusted.
And they told everyone. Oh my God. Wait, how did we get here? I love it. But I can't remember how we got here.
Partners. Oh, sex.
Sex.
Dating. So, yes. So the way I look, so there are people who I'm just really good friends with that, especially if they don't feel that they're non-monogamous at their core, but they're like, oh, it's still really fun to have sex with you when I'm not dating it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I've been that person before. It's like, I know the other person, and I'm not against non-poly or like non-monogamy, but I've definitely been the person where it's like, oh, you're in New York, we're having sex. When I'm single, if I'm starting to see someone, we'll probably have to like shut this down while they have like other partners too.
Yes. Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm talking about, is that kind of like feeling. But one of them, this is funny because she was trying to figure out how to describe it, because we've been friends for 2 years. We did meet from a dating, we met from an app and like we're hooking up originally and then stopped hooking up, but still kind of remained in contact.
Okay.
And then over the last one, we've just gotten like much closer. But there is a weird delineation where we are just clearly pretty good friends. Like we're really good friends to the point where apparently her and her friends are referring to me as bestie. They're like, how's bestie? I was like, somehow that's so much worse than friends with benefits. Like it makes me laugh because our dynamic is very bantery and like kind of giving each other shit. So it's like, it's funny in that way, but like, I can't imagine if you were like fucking somebody, you're like, give it to me, bestie.
Oh yeah. This isn't going to make any sense to you, but I work in customer service and we have to like leave notes in like the program after we've talked to the customer on the phone. And there's one person that refers to customer. So usually you'll say like customer canceled account. One person refers to customers as custies. And it's the most disgusting thing. And I'll be like, Custy did this, Custy did that. And it just sounds like crusty. And I always think of like crusty cum every time I see a note from this agent. And I'm like, why? And so when you said bestie, I immediately thought of Custy and then crusty cum.
Custy's worse, although, because it just kind of also sounds like custard. Also, it's implying this like very emotionally deep relationship it's informal and like, what's the, like the Spanish, like informal, like how they have all the different pronoun, like type or all the different conjugations. It feels like it's like, oh, this is like a close friend of mine. This is Deborah. She's a custy. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you don't know this person. Like, yeah.
You don't know or care about this person.
Yeah. But you know what? Here's I'm not going to yuck their yum because that's probably one of the things that gets them through their day.
You know what? You're right. And I won't yuck their yum too.
Customer service sucks.
Oh, it's
the worst.
It's the worst. It is the worst.
Okay. So like that's kind of, and like there's a comic that I'm friends with that like, it's like when they're seeing someone, it's like, we're still friends and stuff. But it's, so it's like, there was this like weird sweet spot where it was just like five people, like, two were romantic. Two were very friendly. And one was kind of weird and stopped happening. But the proximity,
Like too physically close or too physically far away? When you say proximity.
No, one was just, they were very close by. There was proximity.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
So yeah, there were two people where it was like definitely more of dating, romantic. I've also just in general started seeing a lot of wives, and that's the best.
Oh, why?
So there's not the internal pressure of where is this going?
Ah, because they already have like their like flagship store. Like they have.
Yeah. Okay. They've already figured it out, and you can still have very strong emotional close moments with these people. In Denver, like that is a incredibly strong emotional relationship. She just also has a husband, but it grew out of time, out of us just really connecting and going. A fun fact, her and I have the same birthday. We're 1 year apart exactly.
Oh wow.
The exact same birthday. It's really
damn, that feels like a sign. Does it help too that they are in a different state?
It probably helps her husband, but
that's a good point.
But I mean, I don't know if it helps or hurt. I mean, obviously it would love for if they moved to New York or whatever, we'd still spend a lot of time together. It does help keep a boundary, so to speak. Like, hey, well, this is there's only so much we can do. You live in Denver.
Yeah. And I feel like that for me, I think that would be the hardest part with like multiple partners would be having, because boundaries already are so hard to enact. And then it's already so hard to respect your own boundaries and then someone else's boundaries in just like work, platonic, one relationship. So then adding extra people, I feel like that would become overwhelming for me.
And so if you jump to where I'm at, right at all, it would be. 100%. But I didn't start here. I've been non-monogamous since I was 22.
Ah, okay. You slowly build up. Okay.
So it's like anything else. You just like, if I made a 3-course meal, you'd be like, I can never do this. It was like, well, yeah, if you don't cook very often, this would be very difficult to do.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you learn how to make pasta, and then you learn how to make like your own sauce, then you build your own stuff, and then suddenly it's like, oh, this is like a lot of this stuff. And you know, obviously I'm not perfect, everybody fucks up, everybody does, like, but you just I try and hold myself accountable to like to always try and be improving on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And if you're constantly meeting new people and dating new people, it kind of, you can kind of create the reflection of what you would see or what the other person sees in you and everything, and kind of get, if you have like several mirror data points, you can almost kind of like have a better sense of who you are.
Yeah, I get that. That makes a lot of sense. Is there ever any time where you're like, you meet someone that they're like, I'm non-monogamous, but you're kind of like throwing shade at them and you're like, no, you're not. You're just like trying to cheat.
There are people that definitely don't do any of the work, and you see it pretty immediately. And then you go, it's not even that they're trying to cheat. It's that they want to have sex with other people and they don't know how to break out of the system they're in. It also, more guys lie about being non-monogamous than women, for sure. Guys are way more likely to be like, oh yeah, I'm non-monogamous. That's why I didn't tell you about my girlfriend.
And I think that's why non-monogamy has such a bad rep with a lot of more so women, because like I do, I have a lot of friends where it's like they were cheated on, and then that partner was like, well, yeah, because, you know, like what you just said, I'm non-monogamous, or like, oh yeah, I did this, but it's because I want to be open. But that conversation was never like breached, like it was never talked about until the act happened afterward.
So the thing is, and that is true, that definitely exists, and it's people not doing the work or not doing it correctly, because a lot of times they're not communicating. That's really the key. Mm-hmm. Is communication. And it's, the thing is about that though, how many fucking crazy toxic behaviors are in monogamous relationships? Serial monogamists exhibit some of the most toxic behaviors I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like where you're screaming at each other in the street, crying outside of a bar, and then you're like, and then you break up with them, you're like, I'm such an idiot, I don't know why I dated him. And then you date Troy next, and it's the same thing. You didn't learn anything, you didn't grow from it. But why is monogamy not given that same treatment of like, but it's bad?
Yeah. And like
when people go out of bad breakups, they get a little slutty or something, maybe, but they don't just go to non-monogamy.
Yeah.
In the same way, when people are in bad non-monogamous situations, they go to a different non-monogamous relationship.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, monogamy has so many issues. And like everyone always says, and I have said this myself, like, oh, I don't know if I could do non-monogamy because, you know, I've have had trust issues in the past. And then someone very like wisely said to me, but there's trust issues in monogamy. Like there's jealousy anywhere.
Yeah, trust issues are, those are just issues.
Yeah.
Those are on you. You have to deal with them no matter what. Because is your partner ever going to talk to another girl ever, mm-hmm. at any point? Not even sexually, mm-hmm. just at any point going to talk to a girl. If you have trust issues and they're bad, that'll cause a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. And just being open about that. Like, yeah, will you flirt? Because flirting is fun and doesn't mean anything. Like, and I think it like goes right back down to boundaries and communication, and just so much communication.
Like if you trust your partner, it goes so much, because that's at the end of the day, like when people cheat or something, most relationships actually don't break up from cheating. It's prolonged cheating or extended circumstances. But like you just cheat once, most of the time it doesn't break up a relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me and Aaron have talked about that too, of like if that did happen, like one of us cheated. And I've wondered that, like what if it was that one time? If it was that Sex in the City, Steve had sex that one time, would we be okay? And I think a lot of times the answer is yeah, like, okay, because people make mistakes.
Because you're weighing, you know, 6 years versus one night. Like, you mm-hmm. know, like, what are you even like? That's a crazy odd for pretty, like, what is usually meaningless sex. It's not like, if it's a one night thing, it's not like it's been like a buildup with a coworker for, you know, and you're having a full on affair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like what is this? Yeah. One night emotional affair, things like that. Yeah. Totally. Totally get that.
But well, that's, it's always a funny thing when like people are like that, don't you want someone special or stuff like that? It's like, I want a lot of special people. I don't know why, like, why would I limit myself to like one amazing person, but there are all these amazing people out in the world.
Yeah.
That I can meet and get to know, and they'll make my life better and I'll make their life better. Then why would we not do that?
Yeah. Like the whole idea of like a soulmate, I don't believe in soulmates at all. I think that's ridiculous. There's too, like you literally just said, there's way too many cool people out there.
Also, like, who has to think about the idea that your soulmate has died? You have to believe, if you believe in a soulmate, you kind of have to believe in religion, because then you have to believe someone's organizing this.
Ooh, ew. And then, yeah, what if they like die early and then you're like alone for the rest of your life? Like, no, like.
I thought I knew what love is when I met Deborah, but now that I've met Sandra, now I truly understand. And you hear that all the time. And it's like, no, you just have a strong emotional attachment to multiple people, and that's okay.
And that's so normal. Yeah. Oh man, where did that start? Where it's like, you must only marry one person, be with them for the rest of your lives, marry young, all that shit.
So the thought is, so Sex at Dawn talks a lot about this, and there's been disputes about it, but I like it as an explanation, so I use it, which is agrarian society is where it started. Once we figured out agriculture, because you'd work all day and night creating this farm, and then it just goes to the people after you die. No, it's got to go to my son. I worked real hard to get my son this.
Oh.
And you had to have monogamy enforced at that point, because who knew who the fuck's kid it was? If everybody's kind, like, not everybody's fucking and sucking, but like there's enough 9.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, whose kid is this? Is this my kid? Did I worked really hard so that my genetics could survive longer. And you're going to tell me that now I'm just going to give it up to some kid that belongs to fucking Steve?
No, you're not.
Yeah. So it became, well, I'm in charge and this is my property and this woman's my property and these children are my property. So they can inherit my property.
Oh, I hate this so much, but I do. This sounds very like this story checks out. Like this makes a lot of sense. Ugh. I hate this. Yeah, I just hate it. I hate it so much.
Oh yeah, monogamy is the patriarchy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And like as someone that I do, you know, I am monogamous right now and I do very much have a good time in it. It is sometimes frustrating to be like, but like
Yeah, I also participate in capitalism. Like it doesn't mean it I love it. It just is like
it is.
What works best, right? What my situation is and what works best for me.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Making me feel better left and right. Are you, for your 1 year anniversary, are you going out to Denver?
She's flying out here.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. She's flying to New York, which, yeah, she's done a trip before. And so she's coming for like, we're gonna spend like 5 days in New York together, do a bunch of different, because she came one time, but it was very last minute. And her husband wasn't really doing my thought is he has a hot wife kink.
Okay.
So he gets off on watching his wife get off, but it's not like I'm bless her. It's like my wife's fucking hot. It's crazy that I'm the only one who gets to be with her.
Okay.
This should be hot wife kink is like sex positive cucking. Which also, if you're into cucking.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it like kind of like cucking? Okay.
It's sex positive cucking. It's all done from a more positive mind frame, which also like there's plenty of shame in sex. That's great if that's what you're into. Mm-hmm. Do a cuckold thing. I think I've never actually gotten to be a bull like that for like a cuckold thing. And I think it'd be great at it because I'm 5'7" and I have a big dick, which is way more emasculating than like a 6'5" ripped dude. Mm-hmm. If I can get her to make the same noises you think that guy should be able to make, that's way more humiliating.
Give Dave the opportunity to be a bull.
Look, I'm going to come in a button down. You're not going to expect it.
I'm going to have on khakis.
I'm gonna eat your wife out in slacks.
I'm gonna keep the socks on the whole time.
I was gonna say dress shoes stay on while we fuck. Loafers stay on.
Oh my god, I love this.
But so like he was more into that, but then as our relationship started growing over the year, he started like being like, oh, I kind of want something like that. And then he met someone, or he like hit up an old fling from like forever ago, like one of those like it just never happened mm-hmm. kind of people. And then he last minute did a trip to New Orleans, and she was like, this isn't fair, this is not, you got to communicate. He's like, I'll make a deal with you, you can fly out and see Dave this weekend.
So okay.
She called me and she's like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I was like, I can cancel plans. Yeah, come to New York.
Oh,
so it was very last minute. We did some stuff that wanted to do, but like I was also in the middle of like I was moving at the end of the month. It was,
oh wow,
insane. Yeah, half the stuff wasn't in the apartment anymore. It was,
oh my goodness, it was last minute.
Yeah, it was insane. I was like, this is not a great time, but yeah, come show up. You might have to help me pack some things.
What happens when like, so okay, so say this happened again, right? Like it was a very last minute trip. She's like, I can come in. But you have plans with another person that you normally see. How does that communication work?
So it depends on the person. Mm-hmm. If it's a first date, hey, I had a last minute thing happen. I'm not giving details because I don't need to be, I don't need to tell you everything about my life yet. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I like you. You know, but if it's someone I've been seeing for a while, or like, that did happen actually with that last minute one. Like I was supposed to see someone and I was like, hey, my partner from Denver, last minute, just got the ability to come in. She's like, yeah, I totally understand. Like, yeah, that's a priority. It's rare that this gets to happen. So for some in New York, I'm not going to be offended by that.
Oh, cool.
As long as there's good communication about it. And like, the person who refers to me as Bestie wants to meet Denver now that she's coming again. She's like, yeah, she seems great. I would love to meet her and hang out. But like, I don't think it truly doesn't seem like it's going to be like a threesome situation or anything. But it is like a thing. Where it's like, oh, but we could all just hang out. And because the one person's, our relationship is rooted in friendship, as opposed to it's not romantic. Like, it is, like, we really do care about each other, but it is like a very close friend at this point.
Yeah. Like, it's more like on the scale, it's friend first before, like.
Yeah. It's just the idea that why wouldn't we have sex when we have good sex together? Like, there's no reason for us not to, other than some vague idea of, but your husband might get mad in the future. She's not married. Just in general, like, oh, you have to say, like, some puritanical shit. Like, so it's like, oh yeah. But because there's no, because it's not like, neither of us is pining for more, it really is great.
Sex kind of reminds me of, I don't know if it's going to make sense. I'm kind of working it out as I say it out loud to you.
Go for it. Those are the best.
The concept of sex kind of reminds me of like the concept of God. In the sense that, like, because I don't believe in a God, in the sense that we can never fully understand what they are capable of. Like, that whole, like I was raised Catholic, so there's, like, you know, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, same, three people, same person, and you're like, wait, what? They're everywhere. It's like, the fucking, is it Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen?
Oh, it's like the unstuck in time of him?
Yeah, like he's everywhere at once, right? Like,
yeah.
And I kind of feel like the concept of sex can be seen like that, or like at least it reminds me of that. I'm just like, it can be all these things at once, I guess, which I guess isn't that unheard of now that I'm saying it out loud. But we get so stuck as like, this is this. Like, it could only be X, Y, and Z.
Well, it's people treat sex as sacred, which it can be. You can have mind-blowing, incredible, sacred, you know, like, quote-unquote holy sex. You can have that crazy level where everything is just firing on cylinders and you see heaven or whatever, like, but also it can just be pretty fun.
Oh yeah,
it doesn't have, like, if both people know what they're doing and you're comfortable with each other, everybody's gonna orgasm and have a good time.
Oh yeah.
It's just the problem is when, like, you get into the place where the needs are mismatched, or and then people are using other people, which sucks. But it's also a lot of times comes from a place of, like, people have a set idea in their head of what things should be instead of being open to the idea of what could happen.
Yeah.
Or like what is around. Like, it's like, if we have sex on the first date, you're never going to want to talk to me again. Because I had sex with the guy on the first date and then he didn't talk to me. It's like, yeah, that guy wasn't going to talk to you on the third date if you had sex on the third date, but he would have lasted until then, probably. It's way more of a betrayal if you wait till like the third or fourth date to have sex and then they stop talking to you, because
you're like invested now. Like, you're, this feels like a, not like a future, but there's something building for sure. But it is all these, like, I remember being told by like my mom, like, you don't want to give up. What was it? She was like, my brother said, he's older than me. He's like,
why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? All that bullshit.
Yeah. Or like, you don't want to be known. He's, I think it was, you don't want to be known as the girl with peanut butter legs. Like, they slide open easily or something. And I was like, okay. I think I was like 14 or 13 when they told me that.
What in the West Virginia did you grow
up? Oh, I grew up in Virginia. Like, I am from South. I just very much hide my Southern accent.
All right, peanut butter legs.
I think that's what it was.
Just slide right open.
I'm seeing him this weekend. I'll ask my brother if he remembers what he said.
I mean, listen, that's a great way to get a dog to lick your clit, apparently.
As we've been told by that one friend.
Yeah, you don't want to have peanut butter legs. Otherwise, the dogs will get in there.
Now I'm seeing where the dog came in this rumor. Like, yeah. Oh, but you're taught all this, like, you're taught all this shit, especially as a girl. Like, you are not supposed to do all this stuff. Like, you're such a whore if you do. That I remember I waited a long time to have sex just because I was afraid of having a baby. I was very afraid of getting pregnant because my mom, like, totally lied to me about birth control and, like, its effectiveness.
Part two.
So I waited, but I also very much did not want to have sex with someone that I loved. I was like, I see all these people that like had sex with their high school love and then like they're immediately left when they like, you know, go to different colleges or like, you know, go live their lives and like grow up. So I was like, no, I can't. And it was to this day one of the best decisions of my life. Like, I think of that guy fondly and the blood all over the stairs from when I like, you know, popped my cherry. And it's a great, fun, stupid story. And I hope that person's doing well. Like, I have no hard feelings. Like, he didn't break my heart in any way. I don't think I broke his heart in any way.
No, it was just a fun experience. Yeah. And you think of the memory fondly because it was like, I'm having fun losing my virginity.
Yes, exactly. And it was like you said, it's just like sex can just be a fun thing. And that's like how I wanted to go into it. It was like, I just want it to be a fun thing. I don't want it to like mean anything.
Well, because like people forget also that like people try and replace romance and passion with technique also. And you can be having the most passionate sex, but if no one is like, if no one knows like to touch a clit or like where or like good erogenous zones to hit in the middle of it, like fucking bite the lobe of her ear, or, like the nape of her neck while you're fucking her. Like, you know what I mean? Like do like no one know, like if you don't, if you're not invested in the technique of like what you're doing, everybody, because sex does come naturally, like in terms of putting a thing in a thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, like, but everything else around it, it's like, yeah, you know how much better your sex will be if you unpassionately had sex with 18 more people and learned exactly what you're into and what you like?
Oh God, the first time a guy went down on me, I did not know what the clit was or what this was supposed to feel like. And the guy definitely didn't either. And I was faking so badly that I hyperventilated and like lost control of my hands, because you can like, your hands can go like paralyzed and numb. And so I literally like my hand was like this. I had to like tap his head and be like, you got to stop.
And he thought he was killing it. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Cause you're going crazy. And then at the end of it, he went down on you so hard, your hands didn't work in his head.
Oh no, he was freaked out. I don't think he thought it was good.
No,
but he definitely, while I was faking it, thought I was he was doing a great job for sure. Which again, very bad communication on my part. Like I was like, this is weird. I don't know what's happening. None of this feels good.
And if you don't know anything about it, how are you supposed to learn anything? You weren't like, you got to go like, you know, fuck like a 25-year-old who's, you know, read one book.
Who's seen some shit. Who watched American Pie, that one, like that one scene.
Fuck a 25-year-old who fucked a 32-year-old. So that she was like, here, you have to hit this spot. You're like, right, now I know.
There you go. Oh, yeah. I thought, oh, God, faking. Oh.
By the way, I grew up super religious, too.
Oh.
I grew up like evangelical Baptist.
Ooh, my dad's side, Southern Baptist. And oh, my God.
Ooh, yeah. Homeschool co-op. I went to school in a church basement until I was 13.
Oh, my God. Makes me so sad.
That's what's so funny about all the like non-monogamy and stuff. It's just like, turns out if you pull the rubber band, if you stretch the rubber band too far, it just snaps and goes way the other direction.
Oh yeah, like thinking of like the sex ed we had in Catholic school, which was literally a nun saying you should become a nun and never ever touch yourself, like, oh, and thinking of the people in that class now, just like, thank God, like we got away from it.
No, it's so like two people from that class have died either by suicide or overdose, like in a class of 13.
Oh my God, I'm so
like,
sorry.
It's insane. It's the harmful effects of like oppressive religion, in that people don't feel like they can be themselves in a real way. And then they're lost. And if they don't have any kind of support system or anything, you have to just go out and like deal. I think about like a lot of like stuff, like just learning a lot of lessons from like my dad and stuff, and the way he handled everything like in his life, it's just been garbage. And like that, it's like, oh, I have some of that in me for sure. That has to exist in me because it raising me and all this other stuff. But it's like, but how do I consciously know that and then learn how to communicate so that it's not doing this, or be non-monogamous so I'm not just like sitting there in a monogamous relationship being like, how do I fucking cheat all the time? Because I don't feel once you start like having the thought of like, why does it matter who I have sex with as long as it's not hurting anyone? You're just like, oh, it's yeah. And you're like, oh, now I think it'd be pretty impossible for me to go back to monogamy at this point.
Are your parents aware that you're non-monogamous?
Yeah. So I brought a date to, the first married person I ever, I brought her as a date to my brother's wedding.
Ooh.
And they're like, who is that? What's going on there? And I was like, well, we're dating. That's my partner. Then I was like, also, she's married. I was like, oh, okay. And he knows. I was like, yep. And she's like, and it's okay. And I was like, yep. And she's like, okay, I guess. And then got used to it. And then my brother actually in 2019 came out as poly.
Amazing.
So him and his wife have like a live-in boyfriend, and like they're all three of them are like co-parenting a child together, and he's got another girlfriend now. And it's been funny to watch that because we're way more publicly poly than I am in terms of, as I'm talking about it on a podcast, but it's more obvious because they're married and there's another guy around.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. That's very vulnerable. That's hard.
Yeah, they're doing it in Delaware. They're getting it done. Like, honestly, it's so funny because outside of him, they just literally, it's like they got a house and like a dog, and they're just like living a very, what it appears to be normal life, except for this one anomaly, which in that case, it's still a pretty normal life.
Right? Yeah. It's like, why should there be this only one like formula for a normal life? I'm impressed by your parents though, especially, you know, parents raised by that type of religion, I feel like really don't get out of it in a way that like their children do.
So what's nice is my mom didn't grow up in religion. My mom grew up in like just a bad, rough situation.
Okay.
Found religion at 16 and was like, a set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, some guidelines. I lack structure in my life, which is what all organized religion is essentially. It's rules for a time when you had to be, the only way to be smart was to be like, God told me to do this. Like you couldn't control a guy who's like, why don't I just kill you if you're telling me what to do? It'd be like, because you'll go to a bad place.
Because you'll go to a bad place.
And you really want to trust, you want to, like, you're going to tell me you see everything out here in this world and there's no God? You really want to, you believe that much? That's why, like, in Judaism, you can't eat shellfish or pigs because at the time they would kill you because they didn't know how to prepare them properly.
I don't know that.
Yeah. So they're unclean animals in that you would cook them. And because if you don't cook pork, you know, as fully,
you get like botulism.
Yeah. And that'll kill you in biblical times. Shrimp, same deal. If you don't prepare them properly or it's like a bad stream or whatever.
Damn.
Where you're getting out. Yeah, that's why those things are like, it's all based around, that's why Exodus has like 20 rules about slave ownership.
Wow. I blocked everything in the Bible out like the moment I got to college. Like, I don't remember like anything.
Oh, I was on like Bible team. I was like deeply religious till I was like 21 is when I went atheist. But up until that point, like my mind was just contorting to like maneuver it in these weird like gymnastics where I became like a Calvinist for a while, which is like, everything's already written. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to happen exactly as God has already planned it. That's like the Calvinism philosophy. And there's a book and your name's in it or it's not. And that everything's already decided. I was like a psychopath 19-year-old being like, how's it going? I was like, according to plan. It was.
That's going to be my new way that I respond to how's it going? According to plan. It's all going
according to plan. Honestly, now way cooler. If you're not in a weird psycho religious state about it, according to plan is awesome. That's so cool. But when you're a 19-year-old talking to people, be like, yeah, according to plan, it's like, oh.
What was the breaking point? What was the moment that you were like, no?
My aunt passed away, who I was not close with, on the deeply religious side of my family. She passed away and she was like the bad aunt. Mm-hmm. I don't know for certain. I think it was drugs. But I'm not like, they don't like, she got an infection from drugs and then like killed her in like 4 months. Ooh. It was like in, out, just like suddenly gone kind of feeling like, oh, she's sick. And then it's like, oh, she's sick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
Like our closest thing was she liked South Park, which was like not really cool to do in that part of my family.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, you know, it just, and at the funeral, I was watching my other aunt give one of the best eulogy I've ever heard. It was incredible. It was moving. It let me know more about this person than I had ever really known because I didn't know her as like, you know, a child and all this other. So I got to really have this full picture of this person. And at the same time, wish I'd gotten to know her better, but love her memory, which is everything a eulogy should do.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, the pastor got up and he's like, well, I didn't know Sue very well. She didn't really come to church. But, you know, I talked with her, you know, in the last months, you know, and really, I think we got her into heaven. So, you know, like score one for the Jesus team. He didn't say that, obviously, but that's the vibe. That was the whole vibe of like, got her to heaven. I don't know what else you want from me. Don't really know this person. But I was outraged, especially after this juxtaposition. And then I looked at my grandparents and they were like, got her to heaven. We did our job. And I was just like, oh, some people need this. And I'm not one of them.
And like, that was it. And you're like, I'm out.
And it snapped on me. It was very weird at that after lunch. Like when we're all just sitting there at lunch and I'm like, I'm an atheist now. I don't know how to tell you guys.
I don't know if this is the right time, but thanks to that pastor, I am now full-blown atheist.
Yeah. Oh, it was the church that I went to school at, too. It was
full circle. Full fucking circle. Yep. Oh, my God.
Yeah, not really about sex or dating, but that's how you get to the point where all of a sudden you start questioning one thing, and then that's how I got into non-monogamy, is from LARPing, live-action role-playing.
Oh, okay.
Because I call it a gateway weird. When you do one thing that people go, don't do that, that's weird. Nobody will like you if you do that. And then you have a blast doing it. You go, well, so what else is going to be like that?
Yeah. What else has everyone been like, no, 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 because they're so afraid to go out of the norm and like live a fun life.
And there's just so many things like that, but that's why like in like nerd communities, there's often a higher percentage of BDSM and non-monogamy because it's like, oh, well, I already play board games a lot. Like, and also all like most nerds are as horny as everybody else. So they just start fucking each other. And like the LARPing is like the reason I got laid. When I was like, yeah, like my first girlfriend was someone who I LARPed with. And like, we didn't lose our virginity there, but like we were hooking up. We started hooking up at one event. And then it was like, oh, I guess we're dating.
Oh my God, I love this.
Yeah.
Oh man. I truly could talk about this for hours. I feel like it's so easy to talk with you. I'm so sad to slowly end this episode. You'll definitely have to come back, but this was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I had a blast. This was great.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I just think it was a very like informative and like interesting conversation, especially when people like just don't know that much about non-monogamy or like, you know, where to start, what's it about.
Like where to even go with it. And it's literally, I'm watching a wave happen right now. Mm. It's really cool. Of like, especially I'm mostly on Field at this point.
Yes.
Which is, used to be Thrinder. I know, you know, I'm just saying.
Oh no, save for people for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an app where it allows you to have a profile with your partner, if you want. And also, it's generally just more sex positive. Like people are open about kinks. People are open about what they're into in a way that you're not going to find on Tinder for the most part.
Or like,
it's also the only dating app that hasn't warned me or banned me for using the phrase, I'm in therapy, but I'll choke you like I'm not.
Oh God.
Which is my favorite. It's my favorite thing I've ever written.
I love that. I love it.
Use it in your profile if you want, if you're listening to this, but you have to credit me at some point with it. Make a follow me on Instagram. It's fine. Whatever.
Yes. And I'm where can people follow you on the socials?
Oh, DPIC comedy, DPIC comedy, which, and Dick Pic comedy, if that's easier to remember. I didn't do it on purpose.
It's like that's your first and last name.
DPIC. Yeah. David Piccolo, but I wanted to make it as easy. DPIC comedy, or Piccolomini, PiccoloMeany. Because that's how people were spelling it phonetically. if you spell my last name either way, it'll like however you try and spell it, usually it shows up.
Oh my God, amazing.
Just do your best. But I tried to SEO different ways to spell my name into my social media so that people would find me when they can't
still pop up.
Spell Piccolomini. And I will have an album out possibly by the time this comes out or very shortly after it. I'll post about it everywhere all the time. It'll be called Goblin King, probably. Based on some of my LARPing experiences.
Oh my God, fuck yeah. Okay, cool. Oh my God.
But yeah, if you want to hear some real bad dating stories, that album's got one where a woman did so many edibles that she, I had to call an ambulance. So.
Holy shit, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, this was amazing. You're definitely coming back for sure. We have so much more to talk about. Like this was flew. Like I can't believe an hour has gone by. Like this flew by.
We didn't even scratch the surface of all the weird bad dates and crazy.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Not even close. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, review, share, or download whatever you want. Sometimes you just go crazy when you record, and I don't know how else to describe what just happened there for myself. As I'm literally just like holding my right boob in my hand, microphone in the left, how far we've come with remote recording, y'all. It's wild. Remember, if you are going to be in the UK and want to see Awkward Sex and see IRL, you can also get those tickets online. You can find them on my social medias, or if you go to Just the Tonic, I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm falling apart. You can find my show there for tickets as well. And I'll see you all next week. Okay, bye.